Crowded Planet Radio, bringing you the Planetary Behavior Report Card each week. I am here with co-host Sinclair and co-co-host, very cool Vince, our former Mensa member. He brings the intellect to the show.
Somebody's got to do it, right?
No kidding. And spinning the tunes in the control room is the Tobinator, for lack of a better nickname tonight. If we change that through the show, that's not a problem. So what do religion, sex, death, and heaven all have in common?
I'm stumped. What is it?
Those are tonight's topics.
Oh, so you don't have an answer?
No, those are the topics tonight. We will have a guest tonight, a guest that has had two near-death experiences, not one, two near-death experiences. He went one exit past the tunnel of light.
Well, I think Vince has set the mood. We've got these white lights a-blaring in this studio here. It almost feels like I'm going through that tunnel myself.
Did we light the candle tonight? Yeah.
Yeah, we lit the candle. You can't even see the candle because of the white lights of these studio lights burning through my retina.
Well, according to Nietzsche...
Do we need the lights a little lower for you, Sinclair?
No, I'll strive through it.
You'll suffer. All right, well, before we get into our guest in the next segment, the guest again, Michael King, author of Atheists Can Get to Heaven. Toby's smiling. He's glad to hear that. Oh, and I do want to be sure to give out the phone number here for Crowded Planet Radio, because we will have our guest coming on shortly in the next segment, Michael King, who says that atheists can get to heaven. And I'll be asking
him... All right, there's hope for us.
I'll be asking him... Well, no, I'll save the question. Anyway, that phone number, toll-free from anywhere on the Crowded Planet, dial 1-866-536-1100. 866-536-1100. And we thank those of you listening at KFNX News Talk Radio 1100 on the dial, 50,000-watt powerhouse in Arizona and beyond.
And via crowdedplanetradio.com, streaming live.
Yes, you know, we are noticing that we are getting people streaming this show from around the crowded planet.
We do. Sweden, I mean...
Eastern Bloc countries.
What was that country? I'd never even heard of it
before. Moldova.
Moldova. What was that, the Hounds of Hell?
I think that was from Transylvania somebody was tuning in. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that toll-free number again, 866-536-1100. You're going to want to tune in and call in for Michael King, who says that atheists can get to heaven.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, burns, burns.
The battle over gay marriage goes to Washington, D.C. The CIA says they actually have misled Congress for years, but we won't be talking about any of those stories tonight. Welcome back to Crowded Planet Radio. I am Bunker Bob, along with co-host Sinclair and co-co-host Very Cool Vince, and the Tobinator spinning the tunes in the control room this evening. We will be talking about breaking on through to the other side with our guest, who will come on with us in just a moment. Our guest, Michael King, he had two near-death experiences. He went one exit beyond the tunnel of light, I guess is how I have to describe it. He is the author of Atheists Can Get to Heaven. Michael King is also an expert in systems integration with electromagnetic fields. That would be his day job. I'll have to ask him about that. I'm a little lost there. His travels to the doorstep of heaven and hell challenged his own religious beliefs. Mr. King now says that atheists can get to heaven. We'd like to welcome Michael King to Crowded Planet Radio. Michael, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for the invitation.
It's a pleasure to have you on. I'm just curious, as I mentioned in the opening there, your day job, I almost, you know, it's like a thesis. Are you a scientist? Are you a programmer? Well, give me a little background there.
I'm a systems engineer, and I study physics quite a bit because electromagnetic waves and fields move through time and space in a more or less seamless way. The electromagnetic field theory, or wave theory as it's sometimes called, is really the process of understanding how electrons move in anything, in any media, down wires, in air, in space.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, you know, you're not some crackpot that just called this unusual Friday night, you know, planetary behavior show here. I mean, you're a legitimate, intelligent man. Sounds like you're college educated, or even if you're self-taught, You deal in some pretty heady stuff in your day job. So, I mean, I just want to clarify that, you know, for our listening audience.
I do, and I've also taught a course at the University of Oxford in England.
Right, right. Your bio says that you have taught these technical classes to, you know, many, many universities and so forth. So can you, in brief, just give us, like, what would be the main message of your book, Atheists Can Get to Heaven? Give us a frame for this, because it's, you know, probably a little bit hard to wrap my head around. And for the audience's sake, where are we going with this interview tonight?
Well, the process of gathering one's sentient intensity, the field intensity of your own consciousness.
All right. Let me stop you there for a second.
Sure.
Sentient. You're dealing with a high school graduate here. Define the word.
Oh, self-awareness. The sentience means you're aware of yourself. You are aware of your existence.
Okay.
Rene Descartes said it very well. I think, therefore, I am.
The conscious being.
All right. That's our Mensa member jumping in there.
Hello, Mensa member.
That's very cool, Vince. All right. So our actual consciousness as beings, then, is what you're saying is the main thrust of the point of your book, basically.
The coherence of it. And what the point of the book is, what gets in the way of that in the human experience from acting in an inefficient way. In other words, we know in physics that once an electromagnetic wave is launched into space, it continues forever. It is infinite. It moves through the implacable forces of the universe as one of those forces of the universe. When Carl Sagan wrote the book Contact and they did the movie on it, they made it very clear in graphic illustration about how an electromagnetic wave can travel through space in a scenario of the movie, come back to Earth. Well, if consciousness can be defined as electromagnetic wave, if consciousness is a quantum electrodynamic form of being, and there are studies going on this, the consciousness theory of electromagnetic waves, then everything that religions call souls, for example, is not a separate supernatural force. It is rather an extension of the physical force that you have in you right this moment.
Michael, does this have anything to do with the 90% of my brain that isn't understanding this right now?
Well, that learned knowledge and empathic skills, or the ability to organize yourself into what I call a coherent energy form. I mean, if you think of the things that waste energy, I think most of us can agree that anger wastes energy, because anger doesn't accomplish anything. It just wastes energy. Depression is another energy form where internal energy is dissipated in the body.
So the negative and the positive, as far as the wasted energy is the negative and the positive energy is the useful.
Right, the efficient energy.
Unless, of course, I'm getting some pleasure out of the anger and beating up of somebody that I'm beating up, right?
Well, in that case, you're self-deprecating. In that case, you'd fall in the category of a tyrant. Tyrants are another way of saying it. They're parasites.
All right, so that short-term pleasure I get from clubbing that person that I'm in the mood to do that is in the long run a bad thing. Okay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because it's being wasted both mentally and emotionally as well as physically on dissipating it into the body of another person, to use your beating somebody analogy. And that just doesn't do anything except waste energy. I mean, the person that says, well, I'm going to strap on this explosive and go meet the 72 virgins that God is going to make for me because I'm going to blow myself up into pink mist. I mean, that's what we call, what I call in the book, a blind belief system. And that brings me to the point of the book. What is it that wastes your energy? And to a very large extent, blind belief systems that have been, sometimes religiously put onto people. In the case of the suicide bomber, for example, these are not about God. These factors are not about politics, for example. People who seek leaders to save them, politically speaking, are really just forming kind of a sheep in the flock syndrome, and usually they get flocked.
You know, I'm thinking about, like, you know, the higher consciousness aspect you're talking about, and I read an article a number of years back. They asked a question of people to do with, like, if you found a wallet with money in it or whatever, would you try to return it? And they asked that question in like the 1940s, then they asked it again like in the 1970s, and the amount of people that would return it and wouldn't return it was the same over those couple generations. So I guess what I'm wondering is, are we moving toward a higher consciousness as a planet, or does it just seem that way when an individual is moving that way himself? He's more connected to people like that? Or has the planet always been in the same turmoil it's always been in? Is humanity always been in an equal push and pull, yin and yang, that it's still equally split? I mean, look, I can watch Wayne Dyer on PBS, that sort of thing, and I can feel like I'm having a higher consciousness moment, but then I can go out and be, you know, cut off of my church parking lot by somebody who's rushing out the door, you know?
Well, I think the Wayne Dwyers and the Tony Robbins and that are kind of like revivalists or something. You come along and have this state of euphoria that's, you know, like, it's the sort of euphoria you can get if you're in a really, really good concert and you really enjoy the music and you really get high on the music and you leave the music and you leave the concert and you go home and then you're back to ordinary reality. And sometimes it's a letdown. Well, what I'm trying to point out is that the ability to focus one's consciousness to get rid of these negations, these belief systems, these impediments that hold you back psychologically, are ways of dissipating energy.
So having a near-death experience, traveling toward heaven or hell or whatever, you're saying that somewhat helped you, to move in that direction and... Hold your answer on that just for a second. This has been, you know, deeper than I was ready to swim into for a Friday evening. This is Crowded Planet Radio at KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. Our guest is Michael King, a man who has had near-death experiences. He has written a book called Atheists Can Get to Heaven. We have a minute or two before our break, but I forget my question even was to you. So if you remember it, answer it, and if not... Let me just throw out a phone number right now, 866-536-1100. That's toll-free from anywhere on the Crowded Planet for our guest, Michael King. Atheists Can Get to Heaven. I guess...
I had a question for you, Mr. King. You said you saw past the tunnel of light. What you may have seen wasn't heaven per se, but your interpretation of it in its non-churchanity form, because I know you use that word, non-churchanity, or...
I use churchianity to describe the control functions of many religions. It's kind of an overview term. The way that we all know that in history religions have misstepped quite a bit, and some of the more primitive ideas today misstep religion in the face of control. So anyway, I will be glad to tell you what I experienced in some detail.
All right, when we come back, again, 866-536-1100, we'll take questions for our guest, Michael King. I want to know, if I'm an atheist, why do I care about getting to heaven? A Gallup poll shows that 43% of you Americans would consider voting Palin for president in 2012. Now that's some higher consciousness. Welcome back to KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, and welcome back on CrowdedPlanetRadio.com. I am Bunker Bob, along with Sinclair.
I have
very
problems
cool
with
Vince.
Taking anyone seriously that is referred to as a turd blossom.
Karl Rove, the turd blossom. All right. The author of Atheists Can Get to Heaven, Michael King, is with us, and we went to break. I said, if I'm an atheist, why do I care about getting to heaven?
Well, do you care about surviving? Do you care about continuing? Heaven is, first of all...
So that would be to have a belief that beyond my physical life, there is more life, is what you're saying then.
Right. The physical and the metaphysical are inextricably linked together. The metaphysical is that phase of science, or that realm of science, not yet fully explored.
When did you first believe, you know, about how old are you, sir?
I am 68.
Okay. About when in your life did you first then believe in afterlife and that sort of thing?
Well, I started, like most people in the United States at least, in a Christian background, Catholic
mm-hmm.
background.
Right.
In this case. But none of those answers were satisfying to me. It's part of the reason I'm so involved in physics.
So about what age did you come to the belief that there was an afterlife?
Well, if you grow up with it, you believe it because it's been pounded into you all your life.
So what you're saying is from the Catholic religion then, that, you know, being taught about heaven and so forth, that so your belief in the afterlife was from a young age?
Sure.
Okay.
With the exception that at that time I was trained to understand that it was a deity, a monotheistic deity, not the power and forces of the universe. That,
all right, so from the from the metaphysical standpoint, then, it's not about worshiping a god or something like that respect. It's that collective consciousness, then?
Sure. Something I need to make absolutely clear. Heaven is not a place. And insofar as I can tell from my personal experiences described in the book, there is no such thing as hell. That is all mythology that Dante Alighieri helped fuel around 1400 in his work, The Divine Comedy.
Mr. King.
Yes, sir.
Now, if there is not a hell and there is a heaven and it's undefined as a space, how do we know who gets there, or does everybody get there to this heaven?
Okay. What I learned in my second clinical death, which happened about 15 years ago, when one dies, the so-called soul, the consciousness and spirit of your being, has the chance to leave the body and what we might call astral projection, if you want to call it that, and continue. Now, let's assume that you have enough energy, enough ability to coherently hold yourself together.
What gives you the energy?
Focus and will. First of all, we know that the body has a great deal of energy into it, and I won't drag that into the physics. I know a lot about this in terms of the electrodynamics of the body. I won't drag this out into that conversation because it's going to be too long. However, the body serves as a launching platform for the soul, assuming that you can gather the energy and will and intent to continue. Now, let's assume you launch out of your
body. You make your own choice to go to this non-place of heaven, then.
Right, it's a state of being. It's a continuation.
Okay.
It's a continuation of your sentience.
I'd like to just ask our guest, Michael King, author of Atheists Can Get to Heaven. Amongst your biomaterials, I'm just kind of curious for you to elaborate a little bit on something. It says, finding yourself in the tunnel of light, you chose to see what was outside or beyond that, we'll call it structure. How did you come to choose to look beyond the tunnel of light? I have had conversations with a friend or two that had a near-death experience years ago, and that tunnel of light thing for them, you know, it was that element of, do I continue on, no, I have to go back, or whatever. How can you describe to me that you chose to see what was outside the tunnel of light?
Okay, because the tunnel of light was started out, first of all, to be a realm that, for allegorical description, looked something like a fog boundary. And I decided that I knew my body was dying or was dead. I knew that.
Okay.
There's nothing unclear about that. And in the state of this fog, I thought, well, if this is death, it's threatening, because something I know from physics very, very clearly, nature abhors stasis. Nature embraces dynamics. So I saw this realm of light as a trap. And I thought to myself, well, if my body is dead or dying, then I may as well push myself into this boundary and see what happens, because I've got nothing to lose.
So someone who's not familiar with physics wouldn't have had the mental agility to make that decision then.
Well, they have to have the commitment to survive.
Okay. I need to ask you something else from this same section in your biomaterials. You found yourself in this extraordinary space, a conscious sphere filled with energy. And then it says, and the ability to communicate with others who have highly evolved in magnificent attainment. So your ability to communicate with these others, that was mentally, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah, sure,
okay.
Because all you are is your consciousness. You
okay.
have a body.
And then I'm curious, it says that you became affiliated with these people you're communicating with to gain perspectives. Now, were these people that you felt you, or if not people, energies or whatever, were these like dead or alive or people that were in the same tunnel of light that you were in?
Well, there was no tunnel of light at that point.
Okay, that's right. You stepped outside the tunnel.
Yeah, I didn't step outside. I basically thrust myself into... The analogy I use in the book is a police drama where they got a battering ram and they smash it into a door to break out the door. That's what happened to the tunnel of light. I basically battered myself against the door, the light wall, so to speak. The light wall shattered, and then I was traveling into what seemed to be interstellar space.
So were these people...
There's no tunnel.
Were these people that you were communicating with and choosing to affiliate with to gain perspective, as you say, were those people that, like I say, would they be seemingly dead or alive or...
Yeah, they are continuing in spiritual consciousness.
All right, so there is no dead or alive, then.
Right.
It's that aspect of
right,
just in a different form.
No question.
It's infinite.
The people that you were over there with, or the consciousnesses that you were able to communicate with, were these all good people, or were there jerks over there? Do I have to spend my eternity with the same people that annoy me here in this realm?
They don't exist. The good news is the tyrants, I use this term in the sense of Adolf Hitler was a petty tyrant, right? Tyrants are parasites. They only exist in a way that uses another's energy. They cannot exist by their
so
own.
They do not survive. They don't necessarily have that state of consciousness to be in the same zone.
Correct. You have to elevate.
You have to elevate your state of consciousness to even find this space. Okay.
But they do have a strong will to survive, a lot of these people. It's why they do such miserable things.
Unfortunately, they only survive usurping the energy of others. They are parasites. Parasites cannot evolve.
So energy vampires need not enter, basically, is what this is.
Cannot enter.
Okay.
And what level of virtuosity is needed to get to that level? Because most people are amalgams of good and bad to a certain degree. Mm. It's a definition between the two.
How much of an angel do you have to be?
And who makes these decisions as to who is virtuous enough to jump to the other side?
He just said you make that choice then.
Well, yeah, what happens if I'm an awful person, but I believe I'm virtuous? There are plenty of people that have conflicting, diametrically opposed opinions on the same topic, and both are coming at it from a virtuous standpoint. Both those people would view themselves as being entirely virtuous.
Well,
and their
I'm sure serial killers think of themselves as being virtuous for doing whatever they're doing, but they're still tyrants. They're still getting their high off of usurping the energy of another person. So do rapists, and so do the tyrannical boss that does nothing but harass you.
So they don't have an ability to be in this zone just because they need your energy to do it.
Exactly, and that energy is not available to them in spiritual form.
Right.
The thing
that's missing here from my description that I tried to say before, and I love the energy of your conversation approach, by the way. It's kind of fun.
Well, thank you.
The thing I need to make clear is that heaven is not, in the book, it's titled in quotes, right, because it's not a place, it's a state of being. In other words, atheists, anyone with conscious coherence and enough intensity can launch out of the body and continue for eternity. But the condition is that you must have that unfettered energy, that unimpeded energy. Well, if you don't have it, on death, you dissipate. You don't launch.
So even in the afterlife, life is what you make of it.
Exactly.
Now,
and the other point is...
Heaven is like a box of chocolates.
Except that you choose what you're going to get.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Oh.
With that one small.
You don't get the one with the coconut in the middle that everyone hates. You get... all the good stuff.
Well, gee, I like coconut.
Yeah, it just depends.
It's the toothpaste, the toothpasty one.
You pick your flavor of heaven.
Okay.
Now how sure are you that what you're talking about is actually based off of real cognition? Now, a lot of my research that I've done into near-death experience for this show from the scientific and medical community basically says it's a hallucinatory experience.
And that question from our Mensa member, very cool Vince, Michael King, author of Atheists Can Get to Heaven. You have probably about 30 seconds to answer that question before we go to break and bid you adieu.
My experience was quite vast. There were several segments of travel, meetings, communications, followed by travel, followed by more experience. This is unlike anything you have ever read before.
He's got the frequent flyer miles, buddy, for heaven, so don't you be messing with me.
Well, somebody gave me a joke the other day, because I have about 12 million miles on airplanes because of my career.
Wow.
Somebody said, gee, I ought to get frequent Dyer points.
All right, Michael King, author of Atheists Can Get to Heaven. I apologize, I don't have contact information in front of me. Can you say a website name or something? Is it the actual book
name? www.atheistcangettoheaven.com.
All right, Michael King, thank you so much for bringing your celestial seasonings to us tonight.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Bye-bye. Crowded Planet Radio, KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, back in a moment with a mixed bag full of sex, death, and religion.